couple of comments, Judge Rogers. First, from the Implementation Advisory Committee perspective, I commented to you individually before the meeting, and I want to comment to the group as a whole and to the public, that the Implementation Advisory Committee is very pleased, having watched this process over the period of time from the grand jury report to where we are today, at how efficient and smooth it's been for an open process. This is making sausage before the public, and it's not necessarily easy to be as open and transparent as this process has been. And I just want to compliment the participants, not only the commissioners, and certainly you deserve the compliments, but the county as well, on how open and transparent this process has been, even to the point of having a difficult discussion today with your designee as Inspector General. So our compliments in regards to you from that perspective. The only areas that, and we will continue to oversee in a gentle-handed sort of way this process as it completes through the ballot on the charter amendment in November, but one of the areas that seems to be kind of lagging, and I know it's because of contractual issues, but is getting the 0.25% fully implemented, including implemented through changes to the county computer system. We're told that that's likely going to happen in June for a contract and in August for implementation. We are anxious that it be concluded so that it's working, and there's no question that it's working well. So from the Implementation Committee's perspective, that's my only comment. I do have one public comment when we get to that.
Okay, well, we certainly, as we said before, could not have done without the help of your fine staff. They made us look good, much better than we really are. So we certainly would like to thank the staff people who helped us so many ways.
And I'd like to thank you, Mr. Baker, and your committee. You've been a resource to me, and hopefully to other members of this commission. And I hope that we'll be available in the future.
We're all committed to be around for the long haul.
Okay. Public comment.
I have only one, Your Honor, if I may take it. One thing that I was a little confused on, and Mr. Jones and I spoke about this briefly, is what is the effect of an advisory opinion? It's not spelled out in the guidelines for the advisory opinion whether it is binding on the commission for the person seeking advice and advisory for anyone else, or whether it's not binding on anyone but advisory for anyone reading it.
I think the most it could be is the same as the Attorney General's opinion. It's our opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And once it goes to court and is met by the court system, then it becomes a legal opinion. So I don't think we're obligated to, I don't think it's a complete defense against somebody who does something wrong simply because they say, well, we got an opinion from the Ethics Commission, because it isn't a real full hearing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're just hearing one side of the story. So that would be my opinion, and I would welcome the opinion of anybody else up here to how valuable that opinion is, or what gravity it is.
I think in the context of a person who comes before us with a specific request, I mean, obviously they can rely upon what we tell them, and presumably that's a defense to any proposed sanction in the future. Someone comes before us and says, can I sit on this board? And we say yes, and they go and sit on the board, and then someone files a complaint. I think that would be a complete defense, as in any other court proceeding, as long as the person made full disclosure and was truthful and didn't otherwise manipulate the process. And I think anyone thereafter, it's like any judicial opinion. You have to analogize your facts to the facts that were under review and rely upon it accordingly. But that's my view of what our advisory opinions do. They give people comfort that whatever conduct they're about to engage in is somehow grounded and protected.
it'll be left up to us, as I've read some of the questions that things that we have been asked so far. I made little notes. I'd like to know a little more about it before I give an opinion as to what you do, what, you know, what your job is, what duties and responsibilities you have before I give you an opinion. So it's going to be...
I see a subtle distinction between Judge Rogers and Mr. Reinhart in the sense that I may agree more with Judge Rogers, but an advisory opinion is advisory only. It's not even binding on the parties that appear before us, because what Mr. Reinhart said, presuming the parties gave us full information, is always a big loophole. So you can only take an advisory opinion so far, and it wouldn't be an actual full opinion of the Ethics Commission, because I presume, Mr. Berger, that if we're going to have hearings, that those will have perhaps not all the due process protections that are in a court of law, but some due process protections that will be quasi-judicial, which will be subpoenas, witnesses, ability to cross-examine, some procedural due process, which we could possibly move an advisory opinion into a different realm.
Certainly. In the advisory opinion, obviously, there's always the possibility you're not getting in all of this information under oath. It's not subject to cross-examination. There's always the possibility that what you're basing your advisory opinion on is not the whole story. I do believe that someone with the advisory opinion in hand, if it is truly the whole story, they ought to be able to live their lives in confidence that that opinion stands for them. But certainly, there are two different things that we're talking about here. And it's not some guarantee that it couldn't be fleshed out more fully in another venue with a different result.
And I'd presume that each advisory opinion that we issue would have language to that effect, saying that this is advisory only, and it's not binding upon the commission, either with this party or other parties, unless there's an actual hearing the commission makes a formal ruling.
Like a limiting condition schedule. A statement of limiting condition, I assume, would be standard with every... that word also works in the opposite way, too, that if we issue an advisory opinion that says something is not appropriate, while they may not be bound to it, I'd like to think that if they decide not to abide by it, that they could do so at their own peril.
Well, we have the authority to impose fines and things like that. So we would hope that we will be that good at investigating and preparing our opinion that it will be a slam dunk for the courts that have to make a ruling on it. We certainly don't intend to enter into these things, treating them lightly. And I certainly feel as though if I want more information, they've just got to give me some more information before I give any kind of an opinion. But it is a serious matter in which we are going, and the courts are going to look to us for our integrity and to make sure that once we do something that have done, we've done ourselves irreparable damage as far as the judges are concerned, you know. So we have to be very careful about that. And as I said, I still feel as though it's not the law. The law comes from the courts. But it will be heavily relied upon as the Attorney General's opinions are. They're like ours. They say, well, you don't have anything to fuss about. This is the way it is. But I hope that we just don't want to rush into these things. We intend to really investigate them and do what's right for them. I don't know about the collections and things like that. Al, how's that going to work if we do have collections and fines and things? Is that going to be handled separately by your office and your volunteer attorneys?
Enforcement of our advisory. The advisory opinions don't carry any kind of sanctions or enforcement component. They're purely like the Attorney General opinions. It is the opinion of the commission X, Y, and Z based on the information that's given. The complaints, on the other hand, when probable cause is found, will be vetted in a due process hearing, And if this commission finds that there is a violation of the code, then sanctions can be imposed. Not criminal, obviously, but the civil sanctions. Contracts can be rescinded. Fines can be meted out. And as far as the collection of those fines, that would be through the clerk's office, I would imagine.
Right. Just like any other county enforcement board. Right.
And then if there's an appeal, and I was told by Mr. Myers that his first appeal of a complaint was when they denied the complaint, and the complainant was the one who appealed the denial to the circuit court. So the appeal will be an issue that we'll have to handle in our policies and procedures. And again, fortunately, we're looking down the road for something to that end. But so there's two different. You have your advisory opinion, and then you have your complaints, mm-hmm. and the complaints are the enforcement item.
Okay. Anything else? Ms. Gray, is this conference room available? Do you need it at 1:30?
Yes, it is.
Great. Okay. Motion for adjournment? So moved. Second. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Judge. Oh, excuse me, Commissioner.